Inshallah, a brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers request to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد إن شاء الله we'll be starting a new chapter today of Riyad al-Salihin, the famous book of hadith in which the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have been gathered in this kitab. So there's almost 2,000 ahadith, 2,000 statements which are found in this book. So we're moving on to a new chapter, inshallah, this week, which is chapter 62, باب الإثار والمواسات, the chapter which discusses إثار. إثار means to give preference to other people over yourself, give preference to others over oneself, and مواسات. مواسات means to have at the back of one's mind, or at the front of one's mind always, that I need to make things easy for others. I need to make things better for others. Basically, just this degree of wanting to see comfort for everyone, wanting to see goodness in everyone's life. So walking past someone, seeing someone going through something, if there is any way that I can help them, I should put myself forward. This is muwasat. So as always, the custom of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, the author of this book, is to start each chapter with a few verses of the Quran. The first verse he brings, قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the quality of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they would always give preference to others over themselves. This is just their, you know, it wasn't a one-off thing. It was always the case that they would always prioritize others above themselves, even if they were in need themselves. Even if they were hungry, they were starving, they were going through any form of difficulty, they would still always prioritize others over themselves. And last week I mentioned that there's three words in Arabic. You've got sakha'un. Sakha' just means when you can be generous without feeling bad about it. That I helped someone, donated. Sometimes it's not just a matter of donation, it's also a matter of gifting, you know, spending. So I can spend and gift and I don't regret it. I'm happy about it. You know, in my heart of hearts, I feel happy. I've spent on others. I've gifted, I've donated. That's sakha. So that's a good level. It shows that your heart is good, generous. You've got the quality of generosity. Although that's a lower level. A more higher level is jood. Jood is, the scholars say, where you can be so generous that you can give more of what you have to others and keep less for yourself, but you're still happy with that. So it's a more advanced level of generosity, that I'm ready to spend most of what I have on others, give most of what I have away to others, and I am still content with that. And the final level, or the greatest level, is ithar. Ithar is where you're in a good state now. You're willing to give everything to someone else, knowing that that will make you, put you in a bad state. It will put you in a bad state, put you in a difficult state, as in a difficult state. But you're willing to do that. Anytime you feel that somebody else is in need, you're in need, they're in need, you prioritize them. Hence the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you is a true Muslim until he loves for others what he loves for himself. I've got something, fellow brother, sister, relative, Muslim, they don't have this. If I give it to them, I might not have it anymore. But I want them to experience what I'm experiencing. I want them to enjoy what I'm enjoying, so I prioritize them. It's ithar. It's very high. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, none of you is a true believer until you do this. And we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's emphasis always was to get us to the highest level. He didn't want us to settle for the bare minimum. You know, I'm a Muslim, I'm reading my salah, forget about my character and my good deeds and what I'm doing. You know, as long as I'm doing the bare minimum, I'm a good Muslim. So nowadays we're all just tapping ourselves, patting ourselves on the shoulder, that, you know, I'm a good Muslim, reading my 5 times salah, and I have such a clean, you know, conscience, and I am so enamored and in awe of myself that I'm a good Muslim. Whereas there are so many qualities that were staple part and parcel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life that we don't have in our lives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go through poverty, but he would still, someone would come to him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when someone would come to him asking for something, he didn't have it, he would borrow from someone else to give it to that person. So he put himself in debt just so that he can help somebody else. And this ayah was revealed, you know, this verse of the Quran, it was revealed when on one occasion a person came to Masjid al-Nabawi, to the Prophet's masjid, the Prophet's mosque, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came, and they were, you know, they were an outsider, so they didn't have a place to stay at night. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is there anyone who will look after this person? Is there anyone who will give this person shelter and food? So one sahabi, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I'll take him, O Prophet of Allah. So he took him. And before the guest could reach his house, he went ahead. He went home, he said to his wife, do we have any food? She said, we've got very little. Just enough for you and I and the baby. He said, you know what you do? Just soothe the baby and just put him to sleep somehow. And whatever food you have, bring it out when the guest comes. I'm going to sit with the guest, but when you bring the food, I'm going to accidentally, you know, I'm going to show it's accidental. I'm going to knock out the light, the candle. And when it's dark, we'll put the food in front of us, and I'll make noises like I'm eating, sound like I'm eating, and the guest will think I'm eating with him, and the guest will have no idea what we are going through. But this is what we do. So this is what happened. The mother soothed the baby, somehow consoled the baby and put the baby to sleep. And then as she was bringing the food out, she knocked out the light. So when she knocked out the light, she said, oh, you know, the light's gone out. It's okay, we'll just eat in the darkness. So the food was presented there. The lady had got hungry. He made noises like he was eating. The guest was eating, thinking, you know what, everybody's eaten, this is my portion. Whereas the whole family had gone hungry just so that they could feed another guest. This is when this ayah was revealed. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. This is how great and virtuous this action was in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. This is how the believer should be. Because the wealth of the Muslim, the health of the Muslim, are not his. This is the way we have to program it. You know, Hakim Tirmidhi rahimahullah, in his Nawadir al-Hadith, he brings a hadith. He mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Islam has not been harmed by anything worse than greed and stinginess. The thing that harms Islam the most is greed, lalach of wealth, and stinginess, not wanting to spend on others. So he twists it around. He says that means the greatest action in Islam is generosity and having no desire of the wealth. He says, how does this happen? We need to understand. When a servant of Allah, the human being, realizes that wealth is not mine, Allah gave it to me, God gave it to me. Health is not mine, God gave it to me. So I am going to use what Allah has given me, God has given me, health and wealth for the benefit of other people. And if he is ready to give his health for other people, sacrifice his health for other people, I am ready to put myself in physical hardship to help others, then, you know, then he will be more than prepared to sacrifice his wealth to help other people. Because wealth is less, you know, important than health, isn't it? Our health is more important. So if I'm ready to put my health on the line to attend to other people's needs, I will be more than happy to put my wealth on the line. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. But Allah Ta'ala has already taken our wealth and health off us, and He has given His Jannah. Meaning Allah Ta'ala says, oh believers, I've given you wealth, money, but it's not yours. I've given you health, but it's not yours. If you understand that, you take your wealth and health and just use it to please me, I will give you Jannah. So we look at the money, we count £5, £10, £50, mine, 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 mine. Allah Ta'ala is saying, that's mine, mine. Think that it's Allah's, spending for the sake of Allah and you'll get Jannah. And on top of that, all the needs will be fulfilled. This is something that we need to remind ourselves of. Yaqeen in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's promises. The more we spend for the sake of Allah, it's Allah's wealth. Allah Ta'ala has given us. We need to lose this attachment, this connection with materialism. Dunya. Everything that we see around us. Allah's creation has no value in the sight of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Use it for the only thing that it will be good for, which is to please Allah. It's not good for anything else. Use it to make your children fat. The children are going to grow up and be disobedient children. Allah forbid. Obviously, we're doing it for the sake of Allah, that these children are mine to look after, and by looking after them, I will please Allah Ta'ala, then that's excellent. But if it's just my wealth, I need to use up my children, I need to use up my house, I need to use up my family. I don't have enough money to spend on other people. I don't have enough money here and there. So we're looking at it from, it's mine. This perspective only brings damage and harm. This is why, you know, the scholars compare between Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi and Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi was a Muslim ruler. He was known as the fifth Khulafa al-Rashidun, from the Khulafa al-Rashidun, like the rightly guided Khulafa, successors of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or four. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhu. And their period altogether lasted for about 30 years. After that, they say Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimullah followed in those footsteps. And then you had another king, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. One person, he said, I saw with my own eyes. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah passed away, he left nothing for his children. Nothing. Zero. Anything he had whilst he was alive, he gave it all to the Baytul Mal, all to the public treasury. He would even say to his wife, his wife's name was Fatima. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. You know, I always think of this ayah. الطيبات للطيبين الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah make it easy for us. So many people going through marriage problems. Allah Ta'ala joins people, you know, to those who can help them, support them. And this is where when people leave the ball in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, I want to get married. Oh Allah, I'm going to give you my life for your sake. I'm going to do everything you need me to do. I'm going to use everything I have at my disposal to please you, oh Allah. And I'm happy with whatever state you have kept me in. Allah will bring that person into your life who you need. So many pious people, they were poor, they had no money. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he wasn't even looking to get married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali, you want to get married? You want to get married to Fatima? You want to get married to Fatima, my daughter? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have any money. I don't have anything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yeah, it's fine, you've got coat of armor, you know, you wear to battle. Just sell that, whatever money you get, you can give some dowry. Don't worry about it. I wasn't even expecting where my wife is going to come from, who it's going to be. And now everybody's thinking, going online, what my wife should look like, you know, all the features, all the characteristics, all the qualities, what color, what height, what shape. Sayyidina Ali, not even thinking about whose wife, where he's going to get married, when he's going to get married. What he does know for certain is my life is Allah's. I'm going to do everything for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala brought him the wife, the best of wives. Till today, who are the highest ranking people? Those who are from the progeny of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. All of these pious people. Sayyidina Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahimullah. So I was a poor student of knowledge. I just used to go study. Till one day my ustad Abu Huraira radiallahu, he says, Sa'id, are you married? And I said, my wife passed away. So I just finished, you know, I buried her and everything, finished all the ta'ziyah period and everything. So I came back. Sa'id, do you want to get married? Are you looking to get married? Oh, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not looking to, I've been thinking about it. So do you want to get married, yes or no? So if there's a good person, then yes, maybe I'll consider it. Do you want to get married to my daughter? He's shocked. But this is the reality. Like, we make a plan. Allah Ta'ala has made a plan for each and every single one of us. If I give my life for the sake of Allah, I know my maqsad is Allah, my purpose is Allah, my purpose in life is to please my Creator who created me. Allah Ta'ala will make everything else easy. But when my purpose and my mind is all diluted and muddled up, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. I'm doing a bit of this. Today I want to please Allah. Tomorrow I don't know what's going on. The next day I'm chasing wealth and job and I'm trying to impress all the people at work. And then the next day I'm doing something else. Things are just going to be confused for me. We have to have our focus. Ya Allah, my life is for you. I'm going to do everything I can to please you. I'm going to do everything I can to follow the path of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and oh Allah, the rest of all my matters, everything I need done in my life, I've left it in your hands. Open it up for me, oh Allah. And Allah Ta'ala will open it up. We have to have this yaqeen, this conviction. Anyone who's walked this path knows that this is what happens. Allah opens the door, Allah opens the door, Allah opens the door. Person struggling, ya Allah, how do I get out of the situation? What's happening? Look, all darkness all around me, the world is caving in. But oh Allah, you know what? I'm your servant. I'm not strong. I can't do anything. When I feel like everything has weighed me down, I've got no escape. Oh Allah, I don't know what to do. But I know you can solve my problems in a second. So I've left it in your court. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. We cry, we ask Allah, and then we leave it. And then we're happy. Then we have to be happy. We can't be sad. Oh no, this hasn't happened in my life yet. Oh no, I'm so sad and miserable. I'm happy. Oh Allah, you kept me in this state. I'm happy with your decision. Oh Allah, you know what I want. But at the same time, oh Allah, I'm happy with you. And the doors open, and the doors open, and the doors open. And I'll just do the next ayah, inshallah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And Allah Ta'ala mentions, another quality of the believers is, وَيُطَعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ. They feed people food. عَلَى حُبِّهِ. Although they have love of food. Although they have love of wealth, they have love of these things, they still are generous and they still overcome that love of these things to feed other people, to donate, to help, to be generous. Although everybody has, you know, lalach of wealth. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. What's the best sadaqah that you can give? Best sadaqah. Best sadaqah that you can give is a sadaqah that you give when you're sahihun shahihun takhsha al-faqra wa ta'mal al-ghina. You're healthy. Shahihun, you have love of desire of wealth, you want more. Takhshal faqr, you're worried that your wealth might run out, you've got to pay the bills, you've got to pay this rent, whatever, whatever. Ta'mal al ghina, you want to be rich, you want to be affluent. In that state, the sadaqah that you give is the best sadaqah. Because you want that wealth. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, afdalu sadaqati juhdul muqil. The best sadaqah is the sadaqah that person who has less. He makes effort, he says, I've got less. I've got to pay the bills, I've got to look after my children, I've got to do this, I've got to look after my parents, this. But still, I'm going to take out these £5. It's going to be hard for me. I'm going to take out these £10 and I'm going to give it for the sake of Allah. It's the best charity that a person can give. Allah Ta'ala knows what Allah has given us. Allah knows the hardship that we go through. A rich person gives £5, doesn't matter, makes no difference. Gives £10, gives £100, gives £200, makes no difference. In the sight of Allah, Allah knows this person went through no effort. The £1 million I gave him, from that he gave £10, he made no effort. It's, inshallah, he'll get reward. But it's not on the same level as someone who Allah knows, I only blessed him with £500. He's only got £500. From that he cut down his takeaway, didn't have takeaway this week. He didn't go out to the restaurant this week. He said to his kids, no kids, we can't buy these toys, sorry. Dad doesn't have the money, Abu doesn't have the money, I can't buy these now. But at the same time, he set aside £50 to give to the masjid, give to the poor people, give for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It was hard for him, he had to compromise. This is much more appreciated in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I think inshallah we'll stop there. We're all ready to practice upon these few things inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give myself all of his tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdi, subhanakullah, alhamdik. Inshallah, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.